And we're holding on Mem Omid Bey's six lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said that among the questions they ask the Edim, once they ask them the seven chakiras that we discussed in detail yesterday about where they have to establish the exact time and place of the event, then they ask him other questions that are necessary, the basic questions that are necessary to establish whether he's guilty. So one of the questions was, they asked, do you recognize the person, for example, if it was a case of murder, do you recognize the victim, whether it was a goy or a yid? Because after all, if it's a goy, the person is over on Loisirtzach, sure, but he's not chayav misa for it. And they asked him, did you give him asra? So let's talk about that point. Tanan Abanan. We learn in a Braisa, so when they ask Makir Matam Oisai, what they mean is, what do they mean? Do you recognize him? Doesn't it, now, you might have thought without the Braisa, it means, do you recognize him, the guy who you're accusing? And that there is that point as well, of course. You know, it has to be, it can't just be that we think that this was the guy who did it. Obviously, that wouldn't work. But it means also, do you recognize him, meaning the victim, Nochri Horag Yisrael Horag? Was it a guy that he killed, or was it a yid? So now there are Rishonim who learn that, and we mentioned yesterday, a Yerushalmi in that connection, that maybe you could go according to Roiv. Maybe if it's a place that's Roiv Jews, then maybe that's enough for Beis Din to rely on to say that most likely it was a Yid, but not necessarily, especially you have a point, the Reb Meir Simcha makes a point, for example, you have the whole matter of Kavua, you have if the Goy lives in this place, then it's considered la-halacha, like a 50-50 chance, even if he's only one Goy living among a bunch of Jews. Anyway, so you have to ask him that. They also ask him his Sreisim Boy, did you give him Asra? Kibbol of Asra, did he accept the Asra, did he accept the Asra on himself as well? In other words, did he say, fine, I know that I'm going to be chayiv misa for this, and I'm going to do it anyway. In addition, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there's a machlokas tanoim, whether you have to tell him the particular kind of misa that he's making himself susceptible to. Anyway, so did you tell him that? By the way, an interesting point is, you know, they have to have this hit your atzma the misa. There's always the question, you know, so why would anybody do that? All the guy has to do is not answer, and he won't be chayav misa. So first of all, there is a point, first of all, that when a Jewish state is functioning as it's supposed to, then you have din malchus, then you also have a king who's able, if necessary, to execute a person even when Beis Din is not able to. So it's not like he's going to get away with it scot-free. Aside from which, also we're going to learn later in the Masechta about the whole matter of machnis and oisir l'kippah, there's going to be cases where even though the person is not able to, we're not able to be mechayev in misa because you don't have some of these technicalities, such as that he didn't accept the hasra. Nevertheless, there are cases where we're going to put him in a narrow cell and feed him a starvation diet, and then we're going to learn a whole thing of what happens to him over there. It's not a pleasant way to go. So that being the case, he might actually think to himself, you know what? If I'm going to be a dead man anyhow, I might as well accept the Mrs. Basin, and it'll be faster rather than the Tonsinos of the Kippa, which is also he's going to end up dying from much slower. Anyway. Continues the Braisa. So they also ask him, Hamas b'seich k'dei dibur. Did he kill the other person or do whatever the Aveda was? But b'seich k'dei dibur. It has to be that you gave him the Asura and then he does the actual action within b'seich k'dei dibur of it. Otherwise, there's a claim that he could say that he forgot it. Similarly, ha'ovid avodah zarah. If they're accusing the person in Beis Din that he worshipped avodah zarah, then as the Mishnah said, they have to ask the details. That's mi avad. Which avodah zarah did he worship? The pa'ur avad, the merkulus avad. Was it pa'ur or merkulus? So, b'me'ovad, how did he worship it? B'zibuach, did he shecht an animal in front of it? B'kitur, by burning something in front of it? B'nisuch, by pouring something in front of it? B'ishtahava, or by bowing down in front of it? Those are the four, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, that those are the four basic avodas that are done for Hashem, and lahavdol, if a person does them for avodah zarah, then he's chayiv misa regardless whether those are the normal way of worshipping that avodah zarah or not. And then in addition, every avodah zarah has its unique way of worshiping it, going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur, throwing stones at Merkulos, etc. So they have to find out those details. Okay. Now, we said that you need Hasra. We said one of the points is that you need Hasra. So let's talk about that. So the Gemara says, Oma Ola, minayim lahasra min haTorah. Where do we see min haTorah, the concept that you have to have hasra? Now, earlier in the Masechta, actually, the Gemara had pointed out that you need hasra poshet in order to know whether the guy's a shogeg or a mezid. So what do you mean, where do we have the concept of hasra min haTorah? The very fact that the Torah distinguishes between shogeg and mezid implies that you have to have hasra. But we did have, earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, we had a machloikas, whether that applies, whether that also applies to a chover. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda had said over there that a chover, a Talmud Chacham, does not need hasra, because if the whole point of hasra is to know whether he's shogeg or mezid, then for a Talmud Chacham, for a chover, you don't need that. So now we're saying, how do we know from Minat Torah that you need hasra, meaning Tosfos says that, The question is on a chover, and also another point. Tosfos says is the question can also be, how do we know that he has to do the act within toch kedei dibur of the hasra, and that if it's afterwards he's able to say that he forgot. So the Gemara says, like, so Ullah says like this, Shenema, the Pasuk says, the isha sheyikach sachoisa, a man who marries or has relations with his sister, bas oviv oy vas imoy, whether she's his father's daughter, or whether she's only his father's daughter, or only his mother's daughter, meaning she's only a half-sister of his, the ra es ervasa, then if he sees her erva, and the Pasuk continues, she sees his erva, then they get kares. So you have to ask, Otubri, Italia Milsa, since when does it depend on seeing? The Isser is not the seeing, the Isser is the relations. Ella, so we douse in the Pasuk, Adshi Yar Uhu Taima Shaldover. When is he or she, Chayav Misa, only if they show him the reason of it, meaning that they tell him, this is your sister, she's an Erva, and it's also, and you're going to be Chayav Karis for it. Now, v'im'ena inyan l'karis, now we don't really need that as far as karis, because karis is a din shamayim. Hashem is going to punish him, so Hashem will know the truth of whether he knew what he's doing or not. Therefore, t'neo inyan l'malkus, therefore apply it instead to the malkus. In general, when a person is chayav karis for something, it's possible instead, if there were edim v'hasra, for them to get malkus instead. In fact, we'll learn in Masechta Makos that in principle, even if a person did not get hasra, it's possible for him to get malkus and be potter from karis. So yeah, with a sister then, or any other chayav krisis, there is malkus potentially involved, so therefore we can be talking about where they warned him, And he's going to get malchus. So therefore, we see from the words v'ra, from the word v'ra, the hisira, that there needs to be hasra, and they have to be aware of it. That's one source. Dvei Chizkiya Tana. In the yeshiva of Chizkiya, they taught. There's another pasuk from which we learn this concept. The pasuk says about a retzeach. V'chi yozid ish al re'ehu. If a person deliberately goes and plots against somebody else, lahorgoi ba'orma, to kill him deliberately. So when it says v'chi, so we learn from that, they gave masra v'adayin who mazed, and he's still mazed. So Rashi says there's two ways. In other words, one is v'chi yozid means literally v'chi can mean an if. So it means, how would we know? What do you mean v'chi yozid? How do we know for a fact that he's mazed? It means we gave masra and he's still mazed. The other explanation, Rashi says, is if it said v'im yozid, then it would mean maybe we don't know for sure. But v'chi yozid means we know for means that we know for a fact. We know that he's amazing. And Rashi prefers that second explanation. So again, there you have it. Means shehisru boi v'adayin who amazed. They gave him asra, and he's still amazed. Therefore, that shows that. So then we know that he's amazing. The Gemara continues, Dvei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they learned another source. We find about a Mekoshesh Eitzim. The Pasuk says, Hamotzim Oitzim, Mekoshesh Eitzim, the people who found him gathering wood, brought him to Moshe's Beis Din, implying that Shehisru Boi Va'adayin Hu Mekoshesh. They warned him, and he's still Mekoshesh. That's why it uses the expression Mekoshesh in present tense. So that's the third source. Dvei Rebbe Tana, and in the yeshiva of Rebbe, they taught a fourth source. The Pasuk says, by a Naira HaMayrosa, al Dvar HaShe'ina. The Pasuk says that he's Chayiv Misa, and she, if we know it was willingly, because al Dvar, on the word HaShe'ina, that he afflicted, that he raped, which means al Iske Dibur, which means we learn from the word al Dvar,
that it means that there was a word, that there was a statement involved, you're going to be chayav misa, and he went and did it anyway. So we have four different psukim that teach us this concept. Well, the Gemara says it's tzricha. We actually need all four of those. We actually need all four of those psukim. De'ikos rachmona achoso. If we only were told this concept by the sister, have amina, then you would say, you know what, fine, okay, but by the sister, there's no chiyuv misa. The maximum penalty for znus between a brother and sister is kores, and then again, if there was eidim v'asra, then malchus, you would say, have amina, chayvim malchus ein, chayvim misis lo. Maybe by malchus, yes, you need hasra. Maybe chayvim misis, you would say that not. After all, chayvim misis are more stringent, so therefore you would think that maybe if a person is going to do such a serious avera that he knows is going to be chayvim misis, maybe you don't need asra. Maybe it's enough that we can see that he did it deliberately. So therefore, so kosher rachmana ki yozid. Therefore, the pasuk also writes it by the ritzeach where there's chayvim misis. The e kosher rachmana v'chi yozid, but if we only said it there, have amina hani mili sayif to kill. Fine, we would say okay. Then that concept applies by hereg, by sayif, which is one of the more lenient types of misses based in. Like we touched on yesterday, of the four misses based in, the chachamim hold the order of severity is skila, then sreifa, then hereg, then chenek. Reb Shimon disagrees and says sreifa, then skila, then chenek, then hereg. Everybody agrees that hereg is way down on the list, either third or fourth.
It's the least favorite.
It's the least. So the Gemara is actually when the Gemara deals with this in the seventh parak of Our Masechta, the Gemara is going to be dealing with how Reb Shimon and the Chachamim learn it. We're not talking about, it's supposed to be, presumably, which one is more and which one is less painful, but actually they're going to learn it from which Avedas get which one. The fact that certain Avedas get Skila, and others get Srefa, and others Ereg, and others Chenek, we're going to discuss over there which Avedas seem to be more severe, and therefore we can deduce from that the punishment is the more severe one. The Nafkamina, by the way, of it is, for example, if a person is chai of two misses based in, then he gets the harsher one. So now let's say, for example, a person is chai, both skila and srefa. Which one is he going to get? According to the chachamim, skila. According to the b'shimim, srefa. Anyway, so now over here, so you would say with a person killing somebody else, that's one of the two things for which he gets hereg, otherwise known as sayif. Sayif means a sword, because that's what hereg is, as we're going to learn when we get to the details of each of the dalek misses based in. Hereg involves a chop off his head. So you would say, hanging him is something else. They don't hang a person in order to kill him like the way the goyim do. That's the ad. They hang up the body in certain cases, as we'll learn in the next paragraph. Okay. If it only said it by the sister, then you wouldn't know it applies to Mrs. Bastin at all, because no Mrs. Bastin by a sister. If it said it only by the Ritzeach, then you would say it applies only to Saif, because that's what the Ritzeach is getting. He's getting beheaded. To kill, which is after all a lighter punishment. Aval skila de chamura, but you wouldn't know that it applies to skila, which is more stringent according to everybody.
Skila is
stoning. Oh. They throw him off a platform and then they stone him. Yeah. So aim aloy, so you wouldn't know that he needs hasra and that it has to be tochid edibra and all that. Tzricha. So therefore we need that pasuk by, the third pasuk by the makoshish etzim, where in the event he got skila. Mind you, at the time when he did it, they actually didn't know what misa he's gonna get yet. The pasuk says that they had to put him in jail because kilei fordash maya osaloy, they didn't know what's gonna happen. They knew his chayv misa, but they didn't know which one until Hashem tells Moshe skila. Anyway. Okay, the Tautib and Eskolin Lomali. Now, the fourth pasuk that we brought regarding the Naira Ma'arosa also involves Skila. Because what you have is the Znus with an Eshes Ish is Chayav Misa. But there are different kinds of Misa involved. By default, it's Chenek. Then you have with a Bas Koyan, there's Srefa. And we're going to learn on Daphne Aleph the details of when Srefa comes into play. And then you have with the Naira Ma'arosa, then there's Skila. So the fourth pasuk that we quoted on Dvar Asherina is talking about Skila. The Makosha Shesim is also Skila. So the Tautim in a skull and lamali. So why do we need two psukim to tell us that this concept that you need hasra and it has to be tochid edibur and all that applies by niskolin? The answer is Lirab Shimon, according to Rab Shimon, who says that Srefa is harsher than Skila, than Lasuya, not Lasuya Nisrafin. Then we would say, according to Rab Shimon,
schools.
You need it to include the Nisrafin.
Lirab Bon. Schools.
to include, to say that this concept that you need hasra applies also to the nisrafin. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known. You would have thought, seifa being so much more severe, even than skila, according to Reb Shimon, maybe if a person is going to do something that's going to get him seifa, maybe he doesn't need hasra. Maybe we should expect so that the person should know that this is a serious thing he's doing, and yet. So Rabbanan, as far as the Chachamim, we can say fine, as we've said before, Milsid Asti, but Kavachomer, something that could have been learned by Kavachomer, Torach because of Lakra, the posit goes to the trouble of writing it anyway. We're not necessarily learning something else from it. Fine, we have an extra posit about Skila, because even though, according to the Chachamim, Seifa is less stringent than Skila, and we could have learned it by Kavachomer, nevertheless, sometimes the Torah will do that, it'll write it out with Fedosh, rather than leaving it to us to deduce by Kavachomer.
But the rabbi says tell us that.
So in other words, we'd have two psukim. So you have two psukim by Skullin, one to tell us that it applies by Skila, and the other to tell us you would know by a Kavachoyma that it also applies to all the other mitzvahs based in, but nevertheless the Torah takes the trouble to write it out.
We shouldn't have to learn it ourselves
with a Kavachoyma. There's a vote from the Bnei Yisoschar on it, by the way, that says that the reason why the Torah does it is, after all, a kavachomer is something that you can derive by human logic. Odom don kavachomer ma'asmai. So every so often, the Eibishter wants to remind us in the Torah, after all, don't think that Torah is just exclusively meant to be decided with your own brain. Realize, after all, it's chachmosa v'tzonei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore there's going to be places where it's going to put something in, showing you don't bother with your human kavachomer. This is the way the Eibishter said it. Fine. Well, the Gemara asks, "V'lichta v'rachmona b'niskolin v'loisu hanach v'nigvelugum r'menei." Well, fine, but still, why would we say that? Why? So, what are we saying? We had four psukim because we had to go up. First, one applies to Malkus, and another one applies to Sayef, and then two of them applies to Niskolin. Well, why not just give us one of the psukim by Niskolin, either the Mekoshesh Eitzim or the Naira Meirasa, v'loisu hanach v'nigvelugum r'menei, and then we would learn all the other ones from it. Once we find that you have this concept by Skila, then automatically we would know it applies to Hered. We would automatically know it applies to Malkus.
If Madach, it's done by
Skila, which is so severe that the person ought to have known better, and still we require Hasra and Tochkede Dibru and all that. Right. How much more so when it comes to the lesser Mrs. Basin, and how much more so when it comes to Malkus? So the answer is again, Hachanami Milsid Aster, but Kavachomer Tarach Lakasav Lakra, we can give the same answer. We could have learned it by Kavachomer, but still the Pasuk takes the trouble to write it out, and therefore we have it more clearly in the various Pesukim. Okay, so that's where we learn this concept. So from the combination of these Pesukim is where we learn this concept that in all cases there needs to be Hasra, and the Hasra has to be, B'Tech Kirei Dibur. And also that we said, so now the next one, we said Hitir Atzmei L'Misa. Now it does also have to be, we said that he made himself open to Misa. In other words, that he said, I know what you're telling me, that I'm going to be Chayav Misa for this, and I'm going to do it anyway. So Manolon, where do we know that point from?
That's considered abhorrent?
No. In other words, so they tell him, for example, look, you see that light, you're about to turn on that light switch on Shabbos. Do you realize if you do that, you're going to be chayav misa? And he actually says, I know that, and I'm going to do it anyway. That's hitter atzmei l'misa. So Manolon, where do we know that you need that? Omar Rava, v'yitein l'chizki, or Omar Kro, because the pasuk says, yumas hames. The pasuk says that whenever you need two or three edim, and then the dead person will be killed. So what do you mean, hames? He's not dead yet. Actually, yater, atzmei l'misa, it has to be that he makes himself mutter to be dead. That he already, that he verbally said,
I know that
and I'm ready to die, and I'm ready to die in order to do this. Aruchaner points out when we said before that he has to accept the Hasra. Now we said there were three things. We said he has to be given Hasra, he has to accept the Hasra, and he has to be hitir atzmei l'misa. So in other words, kibul olav Hasra would mean, yes, I hear what you're saying. Hitir atzmei l'misa would mean that he's saying, yes, I know I'm going to be killed for this, and I'm doing it anyway. Rashi explains, kibul olav Hasra means, yedea ani shekein ani mozor shalei la'asas, I know what you're saying, and I'm also to do this. Hitir atzmei l'misa, he says, I know, I'm a nas kein ani oisa, I'm doing it even though I know I'm chayiv misa. So now the Oruch HaNer points out, we didn't ask how we know that he has to be mekabel, that he has to be mekabel al atzma, because that's included. When we said the whole point of Asra is to know that he's mazed, so obviously he has to accept it and say, I hear what you're saying and I know what I'm doing, and that brands him as amazing. But how do we know that now he has to heat to atzma l'miska? For that we need a separate limud.
What's about the statement that we learned that a person cannot say bad?
Ain't on a mazed atzma rasha. He's not mazed. Ain't on a mazed atzma rasha means a person can't come to Beis Din and say, I did an avera, punish me for it. The Rambam points out, after all, you know, you might have the poor guy's tired of life or something, and he just wants based into. But here we're talking about the Edom see him doing it. They're giving him a warning. He answers, yes, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm amazing, and I know I'm making myself Chayiv Misa. Then yeah, fine. The Gemara says, let's continue on this topic of Hasra. Omer of Chonan, Ede Naira HaMoirosa. When you have Edim that come to Beis Din and say that a Naira HaMoirosa was Mezana. So Rav Chonan says, Ein Neher Shehuzmu. If those Edim turn out to be Edim Zimmerman, Ein Neher Rogin. They do not get executed. Now, why not? On the face of it, they're trying to get her executed with Skila. Vasisim Loikasha Zomam would tell us that they should have the same thing. No, Mitoch Sheikhodim Loimala Oistra Baila Banu, because they could claim that, you know what, we didn't come to get her executed. We only came to get her to make her also to her husband. Because after all, a married woman who's Mizana is also to her husband. So they're able to claim that, and therefore we can't say that they should be Chayiv Misa.
It's impossible.
So one second. The Gemara says, Vaho Astruva. The Gemara says, wait a minute, they gave her Astra. And that means, you know, now the Hagos Habach points out, given that they're Edim Zimmerman, they obviously didn't give her Asra. What we mean is they're claiming they gave her Asra. So how afterwards can they say, you know what we only meant to ask her to her husband? The answer is the Eloi Asherba. We're talking about they didn't give her Asherba. Well, the Eloi Asherba Hechim Mikdala knew. Then how is she going to get killed in the first place? That we should say that now we have a chiddush because they can say La Oisra Baila Bonu. The answer is B'isha Chavera. We're talking about a woman who's a Chavera. She's a Talmidas Chacham. She knows the halachas. V'alibid Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And then it would be like Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda that we said, as we learned before, that he says that by a Chaver, you don't need Hasra in the first place. He says, given the whole point of Hasra is to know the person is Mazed, so you should know he's not Shregen. By a Chaver, you don't need that. A Chaver knows that this thing is Osir. Tosfos points out, either we can say Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda holds that you also doesn't have to be Hitzer Atzmei L'Misa, so he would hold you don't need Hasra at all, and it doesn't require that the Chaver would say, I know that I'm going to be Chayiv Misa for this, or maybe Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda would say that a Chaver is also considered as if Hitzer Atzmei L'Misa. Once he says he doesn't need Hasra, then he doesn't need that either. So therefore, so we're talking about Chaver of Ali B'Dir Rabbi Yosi B'Yehuda. Tanya, as we learn in Abrai, says, we learned in the first parak of our Masechta, Rabbi Yosi B'Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chaver ain't Sarah Hasra, L'fishal and Nitna Hasra, El Alahad, Chamen Shregig L'Mezid. Because the whole point of Hasra is to distinguish between Shregig and Mezid, and a Chaver obviously knows that what he's doing is wrong. So according to him, Rav Chanan is saying that now the Edim later on, if they turn out to be Edim Zimmerman, they could claim that we didn't give Asra. Yes, she would have been Chayiv Misa because she's a Chaver, but now Chavera. But now we're saying that in fact we had no intention of Asraing her to her husband because we had no intention of making her Chayiv Misa. Our intention was only to make her also to her husband. So the Gemara asks, the kibin de inu le miktali, ihi hechi miktala. Well, then we have to ask the opposite. If they themselves, according to this way of looking at it, if we're saying then that they're not going to be chayiv misa because they can claim that they only came to ask her to her husband, then they wouldn't be able to cause her to be executed either. Even according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda, that Hasra is not needed because the Habila Edus Shiyati Yochal Azima. Then in that case, it comes out to be an Edus that it's impossible to be Mazim. Because the rule is, it has to be possible always that an Edus, we should be able to be Mazim them, and it should be possible, as long as they have all the other conditions, to do Vasisim like Kasher Zaman. And, Bechol Edus Shiyati Yochal Azima, if you can't be Mazim the Edus, Lo Shema Edus, then it's not called an Edus in the first place. So that being the case then, so what is Rav Chanan saying that in principle they could have gotten her killed, but now when it comes, they turn out to be Edim Zimmerman, they have an out, they have an excuse to say that we only lo'oistra abayla. In that case, then faket, that would mean that to begin with, their edus could never have gotten her executed in the first place, so what's Rav Chanan's chiddush? Well, the Gemara asks back, well, then we have to ask Taka, then you have to ask according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a Chavera is able to get executed without Hasra, then Taka, how would you have a situation? How would it be ever possible to execute an Isha Chavera? You're right, I skipped the line, sorry. You're right, sorry. Okay, so, yeah, so the question is, it's an Eidus Shiyaki Yochel Azima. The answer is Chochinam Kamar. You're right, that's what Rav Chanan means. Mitoich She'en Neherogin, precisely because they themselves are not going to be killed, She'yichodin Loimel La'oysa by Labanu, they can say, they can claim that we only came to ask her to her husband, Afhi Ein Neheregis, for the same reason she's not going to get killed, Dehavila Eidus Shiyaki Yochel Azima, because it's an Eidus Shiyaki Yochel Azima. So in other words, Rav Chanan is telling us like this. The scenario is, they're coming to Beis Din. They're saying that this woman was Mizana as a Naira Mairasa. So now we're saying that, so Beis Din asks them, did you give her Asra? They say she's a Chavera, she doesn't need Asra. So Beis Din says, okay, listen, in that case then, let's consider, if you turn out to be Edom Zomin, we know we're not going to be able to execute you because you can claim the Oistra Baila. Well, therefore, in retrospect, it's going to also turn out, therefore, you're not testifying that this woman is Chayiv Nisa. The most you're testifying is that her husband has to divorce her and she forfeits her Ksuba. Well, the Gemara asks, Ella be Isha Chavera, the Kaimel and the Mikdala. Well, the fact is, we know a Chavera can get executed as well. So, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Hechem Ashkachasla. Well, the question is going to be, how is that going to work out? According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, if according to him, we just said that the Edom can always say they're only coming to ask her to her husband, then how is it going to work out, Bechlal? So the answer is Kizinsa v'chozer v'zinsa, because we can be talking about where she was Mizana and then Mizana again. She already became Osir to her husband the first time, so therefore she can't become more Osir to her husband. Therefore, at this point, they don't have the excuse that we only came La'oistra Baila. Now, if they're testifying about the second Znus, then it means they're coming to try to get her executed.
And she's not allowed to
Once she's Osir to her husband the first time, she remains Osir.
Right,
if now she's Mizana again, her husband hasn't divorced her yet. As long as she's still married to her husband, okay. She's still an Eishes Ish.
Okay.
So now we're talking about when she was Mizana again. The Gemara asks, "Well, Yecholim Loimel Oistra Boil Hasheni Banu." Still, though, can't they argue that they're saying we're coming to Aser her on the second boil? We know the concept: Kashem Shasur LaBal Kach Asur LaBoil. The woman is Aser to her husband after she's Mizana Berotzen. She's also Aser to the boil.
He's a Chayv Misa also.
He can be Chayv Misa also, but that's neither here nor there. The point is the Edom are not coming and testifying about him. They're coming and testifying about her. You could have, let's say, for example, they don't know who he was. Or let's say, for example, he was a Goy. He might be Chayv Misa. He's going to be Chayv Misa by Shev Misa. No, but that's another matter. But there's actually a Macholik as a poskim, whether if a woman is Mizana, the Rotzen with a Goy, whether she becomes also to her husband, the Halacha is, if I remember correctly, that she is. So the question is then that what are you telling me? She was Mizana a first time, she became also to her husband. Now Edom are coming and saying she was Mizana again, and now we don't have the excuse that we're coming to ask her to her husband because she's already also to her husband. But the question is, they can still claim we're coming to ask her to the boil, to the guy that she had relations with the second time.
So she's still not
Chayiv Misa. That's the question. No, because we're talking about a Chavera. Again, we're talking about there's no Hasra. But they have the excuse to say we only came to Aser her. So that's the question. Then they could still get out of Misa. And once they get out of Misa, then we said she's getting out of Misa as well. So the answer is Shazinsa mit boil rishon. One answer could be she was Mizana again with the same first boil. So there's nobody else for her to become also to. Her husband she's already also to. The first boil she's already also to. So now if the Edom are coming and saying she was Mizana with him again, then they're certainly saying she's coming to be Chayiv Misa. They're coming to be Mechayiv or Misa, because what else would they be coming to Beis Din for? Then they don't have the excuse to say we only came La'oistra Baila. Inami, another possibility, she's in some mikreveha. Another possibility is the man she was mizana with is one of her close relatives, which is anyway also to him. So her husband she became also to from previously. Now she's mizana again with one of her relatives. You can't say that makes her also to boil sheni, because she's already also to him from before. Therefore, that would again be a case where the edim cannot say we're coming to aser her on her on boil sheni. It has to be that they're coming to actually cause her to get executed. And therefore now, if they turn out to be Adam Zimmerman, then we can say that indeed we should give them Misa for that. An interesting point in that is in fact that there is a discussion in halacha about these cases of kishem shasur labal kahasur laboil. If she was already osur to her husband from before, does she become osur to the second boil? And on the face of it, our Gemara says yes. Yet there's an explanation. Yet there's an opinion of Maharos Sosa who says that actually that she wouldn't be osur to him. So then, so the Pischet Shuvah has an interesting explanation. So well, because she's already osur to her husband. The whole point would be, but if she's already also to her husband before, then how can the second boil become also to her more when she's already also to the first husband? So the question is, how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So in fact, the Pischet Shuvah actually brings an interesting explanation that we could talk about over here. Listen, why are we specifically focusing on a Naira Hamarosa? For her to be Chayiv Skila, and for the boil to be Chayiv Skila for that matter, it has to be that she's still a Besula, and if we're talking already about a second Znus, she's not a Besula anymore either, then it's just a regular Eishes Ish. So he explains that we're talking about basically that the Edim came and testified out of order. First they came and were testifying about the second Znus, and then about the first one. And then the flow of the Gemara over here would actually be that we could say that how do we know when we're saying again there was no hasura according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? How do we know that when they're coming and saying the later edim are coming and saying that she was mizana the first time, which is going to make her chayiv skila, but maybe it's only loistra boila, it's only to make her also to her husband and to the boil sheni, and therefore so in other words the flow of the Gemara can be made to work according to Maharos Sasan to actually say that when she is already in fact also to her first husband, she won't become also to the second boil, she's also to the first one, because he's the one who caused her to be also to her husband, but not necessarily the second one. It's an interesting fact. Anyway, okay. Onward in the Gemara. So that's that. Well, the Gemara asks, Maishna Naira Marosa Dinoka. Well, in that case, why specifically focus on a Naira Marosa? Afilu Nesua Nami. All of this that we just said would apply to a regular married woman as well, where there's chenek involved. And the answer is, yes, that's true. Ella, filo high, but what Rav Chanan wants to tell us is, even in this case, delo yas v'tuse, she's not yet living with her husband because she's a naira ma'irasa. Nevertheless, they still have the excuse to say that we only came to make her offer to her husband. In other words, exactly that. It's a chiddush. In other words, you would think we should think. Wait a minute. Maybe it didn't occur to them to make her also to him, because after all, they didn't see her living together. Nevertheless, they still can use that excuse. Okay. The Gemara says. Omer of Chista. So Rav Chista says, let's talk about contradictions between the edim. Echad Omer b'sayif hergo. If one aid says that he killed Pliny using a sword, the Echad Omer b'ariron hergo, and the other one says he killed him with an ariron, which is we had previously Rashi had given two explanations. Well, Rashi had given a French word. He gives it over here also that it means a small knife like a scalpel, and then the Oruch translates it as an axe. Whatever, a different kind of weapon. Ein zen nochein. This is not called nochein. The pasuk says v'hinehemus nochein adover. Nochein means matching up, and here it doesn't match up because they're saying two different things. So therefore, so the address is no good. Echad oimer kalev shchurim, echad oimer kalev levanim. But if one says he was wearing white, he was wearing black clothes, and the other says he was wearing white clothes, Harizan Nochon, then this is Nochon, because then they're contradicting each other on things that are not really essential to the Aegis itself. Okay, so therefore, so we don't, right, they can say we didn't pay attention to that, right. So the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction though. A Braisa says that no, Nochon, Shiyahein Nochon, when the Pasuk says Nochon means that it has to match, that the Aegis has to completely match up, and that means Echad Omer B'Sayif Hoger, Echad Omer B'Arirun Hoger. So if one says he killed him with a sword, and the other one says he killed him with an Arirun, or Echad Omer Kalev Shchoin, Echad Omer Kalev Levonim, one says he was wearing black clothes, the other says he was wearing white clothes, Ein Zeh Nochon, then it's not Nochon. So the Braisa clearly says that either way, the Aegis is considered to contradict one another. So Rav Chista is saying basically like this. We had in the Mishnah Chakiris versus Bedikos. Chakiris, we said, are the questions to establish the basic time and place of the action. And then he had Bedikos, which are all the side questions. Rav Chista is saying there's a difference. If they contradict one another in Bedikos, it's not a problem. But the Braisa is clearly saying that even in Bedikos, it prevents the Aegis from being valid. So the answer is Tirgum Rav Chista. So Rav Chista explains, you know what kind of kelim we're talking about? His clothes. We're talking about the Suda Shechonkai. But let's say, for example, the clothing itself was the actual weapon he used to kill the person. He took a scarf and wrapped it around the guy's neck and then strangled him. So then that's like the Saif versus Ariran, the actual Muru weapon. Of course, you have to know the details of it. So if one says it was black and the other says it was white, then it's no good. That doesn't mean if we're talking about what shirt he was wearing, that should be a contradiction that would pass all the ages. Okay, well then, what about Toshma? Let's prove for another braisa. Echad Omer Sandol of Shchorim. If one of them says that that he was wearing black sandals, Echad Omer Sandol of Levonim, and the other one says that and the other one says it was white sandals, Ein Zeh Nochon, and it's also not Nochon, and we throw out the Eders. How would Rav Chista answer that? The answer is also not against your bot, but a sandal of a horror. We could say he used the sandal as a murder weapon. He kicked the guy with a sandal and killed him. So we need to know what color the sandal was. All right, Toshma, Maiso Bodek Ben Zakai Ba'ukse Te'ena. We said in our Mishnah that Ben Zakai, and we'll talk about soon who Ben Zakai was, one time interrogated the Edim about the stems of the figs. And since the way they contradicted one another, then he threw out the Eders. Now, that seems to be bedikus, because whether we're talking about a murder, whether we're talking about whatever kind of avera it was, what kind of stems were on the fig tree over there wouldn't seem to matter. According to Rav Chista, that shouldn't prevent the Eidos from being valid. So Rami Bachama says, fine, but you could be talking about, let's say, that he actually picked a fig on Shabbos. So we're not talking about murder, we're talking about chilul Shabbos. So then we need to know what kind of stem was the fig attached to. After all, it's because of that he's getting killed. So therefore, even Rav Chista would agree that that's essential to the Eidos.
Can't say he was hungry. He deserved it not because of that. He was because he wanted food.
Eidim v'hasra. There were Eidim who saw him do it, and they warned him, "Don't do it." Remember? Yeah. So the Gemara says, so we can talk about it wasn't murder, it was chilul Shabbos. What do you mean? V'hal Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omru loy tachas te'ena horgoy. That. The case was that the Edim said to Ben Zakkai, what does it matter? He killed him under a fig tree. Who cares what the stems of the tree were like? So we see we're talking about murder. We're not talking about Chilul Shabbos. So we're back to the question. According to Rav Chista, why would the shape, the size, whatever, the stems matter if it's only Bedikus? Ela Omer Rami Bachama. So Rami Bachama says, fine, you could say you're going to shofte biyichusho te'ena. Fine, you could say he took a branch of a fig tree and stabbed the guy with it. Well, then in that case, the branch is the murder weapon, and therefore, again, we need to know what the stems on it look like. Well, Toshma, the Gemara says, let's try to bring another proof from a Braisa. Omelahen, that Ben Zakkai asked the Edim, Te'ena zu uktzeha dakin uktzeha gasin, were the stems on this tree thin or thick? Te'enim shchoros, te'enim levonos, were they black figs or white figs? Now, at least fine, as far as the stems, you could say they're part of the murder weapon, but when it comes to the figs themselves, you can't kill with figs. So therefore, obviously, that's obviously ridiculous. And according to Rav Chista, it shouldn't matter, even if they contradicted one another. Ela Omer Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, never mind everything we were saying, that it might be stabbed him with a fig branch or whatever. Rav Yosef says, Mi Ben Zakkai Loisev Inish. You're going to try to bring a contradiction from what Ben Zakkai did. Shiny Ben Zakkai. In fact, Ben Zakkai's opinion is unique. The Bedikas Kachakiris Meshavilei, he holds that Bedikas have the same strength as Chakiris in the sense that if the Edom contradict one another on that, then we throw out the Edus. The Chachamim don't necessarily agree with that. Rav Chista is talking according to the Chachamim, who say that they, with Chakiris, if they contradict one another, then we throw out the Edus, but by Bedikas, they're not. So therefore, Sarav Chista holds like that, and therefore he's not bothered by the, he's not bothered by this Braisa. So in fact, a point is now the Mishnah has mentioned what Ben Zakkai says. In the end, actually, the halacha is like him, that we do consider Bedikas like Chakiris to that extent. But one interesting point is that Rav Chista takes the view, if that were the case, if the halacha is in fact like him, why does the Mishnah mention it under his name? Yes, it may be that he was the one who asked the question, but if it's something that the other Chachamim ended up agreeing to, then the Mishnah should have put it as a Stam Mishnah. The fact that it mentions specifically Maiso Bazak Ben Zakkai, Bokhtetainim, the Gemara is going to mention Rekavur B'Shmei, that they put it in his name, but nevertheless, Rav Chista might say, Fakir, the very fact they put it in his name means that the other Chachamim disagreed with him. Okay. So the Gemara says, Man Ben Zakkai. Who is this Ben Zakkai that we're talking about? Ilemer Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. The obvious possibility would be Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. The problem is, me have a Sanhedrin. Did he ever sit on a Sanhedrin that dealt with Dini Nefoshes? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Kol Shnoisev, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Meiva Esim Shana. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai lives to be 120 years old. There's a Medrash that mentions there's a number of great leaders of the Jewish people who lived to 120 and whose lives can be divided into periods of 40 years each. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, there's a couple of examples. Anyway, for 40 years he was engaged in business. Now, we don't mean during that time he wasn't learning Torah. He wasn't like Rabbi Akiva and Amar Oretz at 40. It just means he learned as much as he could, but he was also engaged in business. For 40 years he learned Torah. And for the last 40 years he taught the Jewish people. Vitanya, now we learn in a Braisa, Arboim Shana Kodim Churban Abayas, 40 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Golos the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin went into Golos from the Lishkas HaGozes, the Yoshvala B'Chanus, and they reestablished themselves in a place called Chanus, an area in Yerushalayim. There, Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Avudimi, and Rav Yitzchak Bar Avudimi explains why, what's the point, why, what is the Braisa telling us? Loima Shaloi Donu Dine Knossos. It tells us that from then on, they did not judge Dine Knossos. Now, the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Dinei Knossos? Dinei Knossos, Sakadai, like, why not? As long as they have smicha, it doesn't matter where they're sitting, they can still judge Dinei Knossos. Ela Shalei Donu Dinei Nefoshos. What Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi meant was they stopped judging Dinei Nefoshos. Elsewhere, the Gemara explains that the reason was because towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, Nefishi Roitzchim, there started to be a lot of murderers, and Beis Din couldn't deal with the matter. It would mean executing too many people, and probably some of them were rich and powerful, whatever, and they couldn't get their hands on them, so therefore they figured we'll leave the Lishkas HaGozes, and at this point we have no choice but to leave it up to Hashem to punish them, like we learned a few days ago. Anyway. So we see that 40 years before the Churban, they weren't dealing with Dini Nefoshes. Tosfos, by the way, earlier in the Masechta points out, it does seem from other Gemaras that once in a while they would return to the Lishkas HaGozes for an exceptional case of Dini Nefoshes. However, not for Ritzicha, since the whole point they had left is because Ritzicha was becoming more common, then they didn't ever return for Ritzicha. Since we just established, based on the Braithas over here, that this case that Ben Zakkai mentioned the fig stems involved Ritzicha, then we can't say that it took place, so that we can't say that they were judging it within the 40 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. And Utnan, we learn in Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah, Misha Chorav Bismifesh, Hiskin Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. After the Churban, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made various takonis, altogether 9 takonis that lists in Mishnayos in Rosh Hashanah. So we see that he outlived the Churban. So therefore, if he lived to 120 and his last 40 years was teaching, meaning that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, then that means that when did he join the Sanhedrin? Only after they had left Lishkas HaGozes. So how do you have that he was sitting in the Beis Din and that he was saying that we should check the Ukhti Te'inim? In fact, the Sefer Doros HaRishonim calculates, based on various Gemaras, that it seems Rabbi Yechanan outlived the Churban by at least about 6 or 7 years. So whatever, even if it was less than that, the point is, yeah. So Ella ben Zakkai de Alma. So you can answer maybe it's not Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai, it's another Chacham named ben Zakkai. And in fact, Chochinam is Sabra. Yeah, it seems more logical to say that. He's talking about Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai. Correlate Rebbe ben Zakkai. Why would Rebbe call him ben Zakkai, which is not an honorable title? He got smicha. He should call him by his proper name, Rabbi Yechonon Zakkai.
Recall that before he...
Ah, so the Gemara answers, but the Gemara says, wait a minute, Valtania, Maiso Bodach, Reb Rabban Yerchen and Zakkai were Uktzeteinim. We have another Braisa that explicitly credits this thing about the Uktzeteinim to Rabban Yerchen and Zakkai, so obviously it is him. So the Gemara answers Ella, so we can answer both questions that we just said. How it is that he's able to do it more than 40 years before the Churban, if he wasn't a member of the Sanhedrin yet, and why we're calling him Ben Zakkai, Talmud HaYoshev Lefnei Rav HaHava. When this case came to Beis Din, Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai was still a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbein. V'Oman Milsa, so he said something, because as we learned in our Perek and in the previous Perek, a Talmud can say something to help exonerate the guy. So in this case, it would be that he's telling the members of the Beis Din, you know, you should think to ask about the size of the stems and see if we can get the Edom to contradict each other and therefore to let this guy go free. Oh, Mistabalahu Taime, so they accepted his reasoning. V'Kavur, Vishmei, and they established it in his name. So that's why. Kihava Lomad. So when he was still learning as a Talmud in front of the Sanhedrin, Ben Zakkai Hava, then he was known, Hava Kori Lay, then he was known only as Ben Zakkai. The Talmud Ayeshul Lefnei Rabbi, because that's what you call a Talmud in front of his Rebbe. You don't call him yet Rebbe. Kihava Limid, later on in his life, when he started teaching Torah to the people, Hava Kori Lay, Rabban Yerchen Ben Zakkai, then he's called Rabbi Yerchen Ben Zakkai, and that's why the Braisa calls him that. On the other hand, our Mishnah, Ki Korele Ben Zakkai, Hashem de Meikra. So when the Mishnah calls him Ben Zakkai, is because that was the situation he was in at the time when this happened. For Ki Korele Rabban Yechon Ben Zakkai, Hashem de Hashda, the Braisa, the calls him Rabban Yechon Ben Zakkai, is based on what he lay on the title that he later got. So that answers both questions. And it was, in fact, more than 40 years before the Churban. During his 40 years of learning, this happened. So therefore, the Sanhedrin was still in Lushkas Agazes, and they were judging Dinin Afashis of murderers. But he's called Ben Zakkai rather than Yechon Ben Zakkai. Was at that point in his life, that's what he was. He was still a Talmud, he didn't yet have smicha. But again, we said that according to Rav Chista does not necessarily have to accept that svara. So again, there is the point. So there are mafoshim. There is a mafosh called Gur Arya that explains that actually it would mean Rav Chista would have to agree. Listen, after the Sanhedrin accepted Ben Zakkai's reasoning and established it as the halacha, then Rav Chista would have to change his mind and say that bedikas are like chakiris as well. And if the edim contradict one another on bedikas, then we throw out the edus. On the other hand, there's another way of looking at it that maybe Rav Chista can take a view. Listen, you know what? The very fact that it's still said in the name of Ben Zakkai, Rav Yechon Ben Zakkai itself, indicates, okay, that particular Beis Din accepted his svara and used it. It doesn't mean that a future Beis Din is obligated to do that. It might well be the halacha is that you don't do it that way and that contradictions and bedikas do not, in fact, cause the edus to be thrown out. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Maiso Bodach Chola Mabin Chakiris Chola. Now, the Mishnah had gone on to describe the difference between Chakiris and Bedikas. So we said like this in the Mishnah. One difference is that when with Chakiris, if even one of the Edom says, I don't know, then that's it, no Edos. So we asked them, for example, we said, the Sheva Chakiris, the first one is, for example, we said, what Shmita in the Yovel cycle is this, that this event happened in? So if one of them says, I don't know, then that's it, no Edos. On the other hand, with Bedikas, if we ask them, what color shirt was the guy wearing, and one says, I don't know, then...
Okay.
That's still a valid Eidos. If they contradict one another, that's what we were saying. That was Ben Zakkai versus the Chachamim and Rav Chista, whether we accept such Eidos or not. Anyway, so the Gemara had said, "My afilu shnayim omrim." Now the Mishnah had said that when it comes to Chakiris, we said. So we said that when it comes to Chakiris, if even one of them says, I don't know, then Edus and Patela, the Edus is Batel. But when it comes to Bedikas, if one of them says, I don't know, even if both of them say, we don't know, then the Edus is still valid. So if they ask the Edom individually, what color shirt was he wearing, and each of them says, I don't know, nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying the Edus is valid. Fine, but the question is, my afilu shnayim omrim, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, even if two say? Pshita, obviously, ki alma echad any day Eidus and Kayemus. If we're saying that if one of them says, I don't know, then the Eidus is valid, Amri Beit Shrei Nami Eidus and Kayemus, then yeah, it should be the same thing if both of them say, I don't know. Why does the Mishnah have to point that? Why does the Mishnah even have to point that out? And why the Afilu? Amr Rav Sheshes Ad Reisha Kari. So Rav Sheshes says the Afilu is actually going on the Reisha. The Hachikama, what it means to say is, the Hakiris, when it comes to the Hakiris, when we said that if one of them says any Yadea, then that's it, no Eidus, Afilu Shnayim Omnim Yadainu, even if, so you have two Eidim, so let's say you have a group of three Eidim come to Beis Din. All as a group of three. If two of them say, we know, so Basin asks the first one what Shmita and the Yovel was in, and he correctly answers it was the fifth one, and asks the second one the same thing. Then they have the third aid from the group, because he came together as a group, of three, and they ask him, and he says, any idea? Eidus and the Taylor, we would still say the Eidus is Batal. We had two Eidim, which should be good enough. Nevertheless, we have the third one with them as well, and therefore he causes it to be Batal.
It's only according to the rule.
Well, so the Gemara says, Kiman, well, who would that be like? Kirab Akiva. The Makish Shloish Lashnayim. That would apparently be only according to Rabbi Akiva, who says there's a Hekish between two and three. Namely, we have the Pasuk says, Api Shnayim Eidim Oy Shloisha Eidim. And Rabbi Akiva learns from that in a Mishnah in Makkos that it means that if you have three Eidim, if you have a group of three Eidim that come, and they then it has to be, in order for them to be Eidim Zomim, Rabbi Akiva says, we learn that all of them have to be Muzam. So the other Eidim would have, the new set of Eidim would have to come and say, Mono Hayisim, regarding all three of them, two of them all by themselves would have been enough to be a valid Eidus. Nevertheless, the fact that three of them came as a group, Rabbi Akiva says, Makish Shloish Lashnayim, that you have a Hekish between three and two, and therefore, whatever applies to two applies to three, and therefore the third one is an integral part of the Eidus. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it would come out. If one of them says, Eini Yodea, then again, the whole point of the Hakiris is to make Hazoma possible. So therefore, if one of them says, Eini Yodea, then Rabbi Akiva is going to say, it's impossible to do Hazoma now. Therefore, the whole Eidus has to be thrown out.
Rabbi Akiva holds that
Bedikus. No, it's not Bedikus. We're talking about Hakiris over here. Rabbi Akiva holds, if two people come to Beis Din and they say, we saw Reuven being Mechalel Shabbos. If now, and we check them out on the time and place. If other Eidim come and say, Imonu Hayisim, then the first set are Eidim Zemim. Rabbi Akiva says, what happens if three Eidim come at the beginning? Two of them, and then, so now, three of, all three come and say, we saw Reuven being Mechal Shabbos on this date and time at this place. Now, other Eidim come and say that two of them, Imonu Hayisim. Two of them should be enough for Eidus. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva says, no, Makish Shloish Lashnayim, for them to be Eidim Zomim, it has to be all three of them are Muslim. Well, that means all three of them have to be able to provide the exact time and place. Otherwise, we can't have Hazama. Therefore, we see that Rabbi Akiva holds that all three of them have to be able to provide all the details on the date and place, and on the time and place, and therefore that if one of them is missing, then no. That's how Rav Sheshes is explaining the Mishnah. We're talking about there were three Eidim. Two of them say, yes, we know the answer. The third one says, I don't know. Based on what Rav Akiva is saying, we throw out the Eidus. But Omar Rava Vahaidus and Kayemas Katani, Rava says the fact is, the Mishnah says that if Eidus and Kayemas, that the Eidus is valid, and according to Rav Sheshes, I'm saying Fakir, we're talking about a case where the Eidus is Bottle. Ella Omar Rava Hokakama. So Rava says the Afilu of the Mishnah means like this. When we said Afilu, even if the both of them say we don't know, Eidus and Kayemas Hokakama, what the Mishnah means is Afilu Bahakiris. Even when it comes to Hakiris, and he said, if even one of them says any Yadea, the Eidus is bottled. What happens? Shnaim Omim Yadainu, the Echad Omim any Yadea, if two of them say, we know the answer, and the third one says, fine, we're talking about three Eidim, like Rav Sheshes said, but Fakir, we're talking about that one of them says, I don't know, Eidus and Kayemus, then Rava is saying, the Mishnah is saying that the Eidus is valid. In other words, Rava is saying that the Mishnah is not talking about, the Mishnah is indeed talking about the Hakiris, but it's saying the difference is that with Hakiris, the opposite, not like Rabbi Akiva, if two of them are saying that they know, and one of them says we don't know, then Eidus and Kayemus. Command the Loik Rabbi Akiva, namely, in other words, Rava is saying our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Now, the big question is, Rava just objected to Rav Sheshes and said, you're changing the Gisa of the Mishnah. You're telling him the Mishnah had said Eidus and Kayemus, and you're changing it to Eidus and Betela. So how is Rava's any better? Rava is keeping the word kayemis, but Rava himself is after all, the Mishnah had said two edim say we don't know afilu shnayim emim any idea, and Rava is changing it and saying two of them do know, and one of them is saying I don't know. So how is Rava's answer any better than Rav Sheshis's? So there's a couple of points. The Ran points out the Ran and some other Meforshim point out that. It's more likely say that the Mishnah is saying that the Eidos is kosher. So in other words, since the Mishnah uses the word kayemis, that the Eidos is valid, and it's talking about, it's contrasting with Bedikus, where even if both of them say we don't know, then it's still kosher. So therefore, so the Mishnah, we should assume that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Eidos is valid. That means that we have to change from any idea, from saying we don't know to saying we do know. Okay, fine. It is a change in the Mishnah, but it's not as major a change because it's clear from the context of the Mishnah that we're talking about. We're trying to say when the Eidos is Kayim. So better to change the Eino Yodim to Yodim rather than change the Eidos and Kayemis. And then the Aruch HaNer explains that we've learned before that when it comes to a Mishnah may be missing words, it's more common that a Tana is going to leave out words or add a couple of extra words or whatever, but not to say something, not to change the main din over here. So if we have, he might change mistakenly. He might say Ein Onu Yodin mistakenly instead of Onu Yodin, but not to change Kayemis to Betela. Okay. So there's other explanations as well that maybe the Mishnah had said va'afilu, that and even if, maybe Rava is changing it to just afilu, taking out the vav and saying, in other words, that the Mishnah is telling us a new din not related to what we said before, and in that case it's not such a major change to the nusach of the Mishnah. Okay. The Gemara tells, Rav Kahana and Rav Safra tonu Sanhedrin bei Rabba. Rav Kahana and Rav Safra had learnt Sanhedrin in the yeshiva of Rabba. Pogabahu Rami Bachoma. One time Rami Bachoma met up with them. Amalahu, he asked them, Maya Mitu Baba Sanhedrin de bei Rabba. What have you said? What have you been learning in Sanhedrin by Rabba? In other words, you learned by such a great Talmud Chacham Rabba, you must have learned great Chidushim, so tell me some Chidush that you learned. Amulei, so they ask him, Amaya Munin Baba Sanhedrin Gredesa. You have to ask her, in general, what do we have Bechlal, even if we hadn't learned by Rava? What particularly are you finding difficult in Sanhedrin that you're implying, you seem to be implying you have a question, and you're saying you expect that we'll be able to tell you a Chiddush that will answer your question. What's your question about Sanhedrin itself? Never mind what we learned by Rava. So Umay Kashalach, what exactly is your question in Sanhedrin that maybe we can help answer? Omalahu, so he answers them, Mehod Katani, this that we learned in the Mishnah, Mabin Chakiris Labidikas, where we said, what's the difference between Chakiris and Bidikas? Chakiris, Echad Oma Eni Yadea Yidusin Betela, where we said by Chakiris, if one of them says, I don't know, for example, what Shmita in the Yovel it was, then the Eidus is Bottle. Bidikas, but we said by Bidikas, for example, what color shirt, Echad Oma Echad Eni Yadea, by Fidus Shnaim Emim Eni Yodin Eidusin Kayemes, where we said, that if one of them says, I don't know, even if both of them say, we don't know, the Eidos is valid. Rami Bachama says, my question is, Mechti, Aydivaydi, Dauraisi. After all, both Chakiris and Bedikas are necessary Dauraisi, as we learned yesterday from the Psukid, Vidarash, of Chakarta, of Sha'alta, and all that we learned about Chakiris and Bedikas. So Maishna Chakiris and Maishna Bedikas. Why should there be that distinction? Once we say that all of them are required Minat Torah, then why should we say that some of them, he can say, any idea, and that's fine. So the answer, Hochi Hashta, how are you even thinking to compare them? Bahakiris, Oma Echad, Eni Yadei, Eidos and Tela. You know why Bahakiris, if one of them says, I don't know, why is the Eidos Bodo, the Havila Eidos Shiyaki Yochel Azimah? Because at that point, it's an Eidos that you can't be Mazim. How could you be Mazim it when they don't know exactly the time and place? But Bedikas, Oma Echad Mehen Eni Yadea, Eidos and Kayemis. But when it comes to Bedikas, true, one of them can say Eni Yadea, and the Eidos is still valid, because Eidos Shati Yochel Azimahu. Because it's still an Eidos that you could be Mazim. The other Eidim coming to be Mazim has nothing to do with what color shirt the guy was wearing. So therefore, so your question doesn't really begin. So Rami Bachama says, Ihachi, if that's so, if it, in that case, Tuva Amrituba, then you've said a lot in it. Apparently, you guys have learned a lot in Rabba's Beis Medrash. Amrilei, so they answer him back, Mitzivuse Demar Amrinin Batuva. You should know, the reason why we're saying a lot in it is because you are good and you are honored and you're agreeing with us. So therefore, now we're able to say in it. Minizivuse Demar. But if you had wanted to be, if you had wanted to go and fight against us, basically, Rashi explains Minizivuse is a lotion of speaking very sharply to them. Then we wouldn't have been able to say anything in it. So in other words, it's a good thing. They're telling him that it's a good thing that you spoke to us in a nice, respectful way that makes it easier for us to be able to learn together. Because if you had spoken to us you could equally well have spoken to us in a way saying you don't know what you're talking about or something like that, and then we would have a much harder time learning. So basically they're complimenting. So therefore, Rashi explains basically they're complimenting him and saying it's a good thing that you spoke to us in a way that shows that we're getting along the way Tamar Chachamim should get along with one another, and that way indeed we are able to learn and we're able to understand a great deal within this sugya. We said in the Mishnah, Echad Oymer B'chula. We said that if one of the Edim says that it took place on the second of the month, and the other says it took place on the third of the month, then that's not necessarily a contradiction, because we said one of them knows that that the previous month was a 30-day month, and the other one is not aware of that. So that's not a contradiction, as long as everything else matches up in terms of the day of the week and everything else. But we said that we said if they're out by 2 days, then we don't say that anymore. So the Gemara says, Ad Kama, how far into the month are we able to give them that leeway and say that they may not have known? Only up to the most of the month. Once half the month has passed, and then they're still there. One of them is saying it was the 20th, and the other was saying it was the 19th. Then that doesn't work anymore, because at that point they should already know whether it was a chodesh mole or a chodesh chaser. Omar Rava afa nan nami tenena, and Rava says, in fact, we can see that in our Mishnah. We said echad omer b'shloisha ve'echad omer b'hei. We said if one of them says it took place on the third of the month, and one of them says it took place on the fifth, edus and betela. We said their edus is batel. Now why should it be botel? You could say one of them knows that there were 2 months in a row that were chodoshim malayim and one doesn't. You could say, so therefore, doesn't that show that once most of the month has passed, then they already should know that? Well, the Gemara says that's not really a proof. In fact, you could say that even maybe once most of the month hasn't passed, maybe a person wouldn't know later on in the month whether it was a chodesh mother or a chodesh kasser, or b'shipura yoda. But a person would know when they blow the shofar. In those times, they would blow a shofar when they were mekadesh the chodesh. Whatever the first day of the month was, whether it was a chodesh mother or a chodesh kasser, they would blow shofar to announce it. So therefore, b'chad shipura. So you could say that maybe with one shofar blowing, he might have missed it, and we could say therefore he didn't know. But we're not going to assume that he was mistaken on two of them, that he missed out two of them. So therefore, so in other words, maybe we would say when it comes after the 15th of the month, sure, he doesn't know yet. But once another Rosh Chodesh has passed and he claims not to have heard the sound of the shofar, and therefore he thinks it's only the third of the month, and meanwhile the other one tells him it's already the fifth, they already blew shofar twice, then that's already, we can't really say that's an acceptable mistake, and therefore we say it's more likely that the Aegis are contradicting one another, and therefore we have to throw out the Aegis. Tosfos actually points out that you have to ask. I mean, even aren't we trying to find every possible way to exonerate the accused? So why are we saying, let's assume that maybe he knew about the shofar, he knew about it being a chodesh moler or chodesh chaser or whatever. Why don't we just say, look, you know, one saying the second, one saying the third, that's it, we throw out the edus.
And the answer is that the whole point Tosfos gives, Tosfos explains, because when it comes, why are we examining them? Why are we cross examining them? Is we want to be actually that's a different thing. So Tosfos says that because the vote is that once we've asked them and they said it was the same day of the week and everything else matched up and the only thing that's the only discrepancy is in the day of the month, then therefore it's much more logical to assume, even on the basis of the Tzilur Eder, we're still not going to go so far as to say we're going to call that a discrepancy when it's a very obvious reason why they made the mistake, similarly to the mistakes as far as the time, whereas we said appointed Abaya and Rava and appointed a mayor and a Rehoda respectively, you have the different possibilities of how much of a discrepancy is allowed because people don't necessarily know the exact time. So the same thing over here. On the other hand, Tosfos says that when it comes to the third versus the fifth, then the whole point is we do want to try to break down their eders as much as possible, and therefore we can't say, for example, when it comes to hours, that we should say that it means the third versus fifth hour, to say that one of them meant the end of the third and the other one meant the beginning of the fifth, and to say that it should be valid because again we are trying to break down their eders. We're saying that ultimately, Beis Din has to strike a balance over here. They're trying to, they do have to try the Tzilur Eder. They do have to try to find reasons to exonerate the person. On the other hand, they have to use methods that are reasonable. So when it comes to the second versus the third of the month, then we can say, listen, it's, you know, everything else matched up. It's fairly obvious that it just means one of them knew it was a Chodesh Moleh and the other not. But when it comes to the hours, if there's too much of a discrepancy, we're not going to try to answer what they say and say that one of them meant the end of the third hour and the other one meant the beginning of the fifth hour and it's only an hour discrepancy, we're not going to do that. As far as the previous piece, when we said with Rav Kahana and Rav Safra, where Romi Bachoma had met up with them and they had this whole discussion, and they tell him at the end, they tell him, Mitzivusi Demar and Mitzivusi Demar. So Rashi just says, it means they were just telling him, you should know, it's a good thing that you're being very gentle with us and accepting what we say, because otherwise, if you were going to go and try to fight with us over it, then we wouldn't be able to learn much. The Orochoneh gives a different explanation about it. What's the chiddush over here, and what's this whole expression? Are they just trying to pride themselves on that we were able to say and you didn't contradict us? So you see, he brings, the Gemara elsewhere says that when you're telling over something from your Rebbe, maybe sometimes you shouldn't always tell it over in your Rebbe's name. First tell it over in your own name, see if the person accepts it, because otherwise you're going to cause a zilusa, you're going to cause disgrace to your Rebbe if the other person says, that was something stupid or whatever, and then it comes out you're bringing your Rebbe into disrepute. Then afterwards, if you find that it's acceptable, then you tell him the truth is this comes from my Rebbe. So in fact, kol ha'omer dover b'shem omer. First say the dover, then if he finds it acceptable, then say b'shem omer. So now Rami Bachama asks them, what did you learn in Rabba's yeshiva? So they didn't want to. Maybe how do we know? Maybe he's only coming lekanter. Maybe he wants to just slug up whatever they're going to say and say that I can't accept what Rabba is saying. So they're saying that you know what? Never mind what Rabba taught us. We'll answer you what we learned in Sanhedrin ourselves or our own chiddushim in it. And then after. He asked them a question, they answered him, now they said, so now, in other words, he's telling them that, first of all, now I see you're telling me something very good, now they have good reason to tell him it's in fact from Rabbah, that now they need to explain themselves, first of all, to clarify where they got this from, and second of all, why did we say it over in our own name, so that's what they're telling him, in other words, we see Tuva Demari, we see that you asked in a way, not Lakanter, so therefore now we're able to say it in our Rebbe's name, but had it been, Minizahusa Demar, if we had had reason before, we had reason to be concerned that you're only coming with Kanter, so therefore we weren't going to say it over in our Rebbe's name until we saw what your motivation is in asking the question. Shabbat, everyone.